World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, get Psalm 10 ready out there. Get Psalm 10. We're in a war. I'm in a war. I was saying in the pre-show. Let me take my glasses off here, man. First of all, thanks for being here. Thanks all of you for coming, faithfully coming here. And I was saying to my wife, and then as I was coming down my multi-million-dollar or the studio, the escalator into my multi-million-dollar studio, I asked myself, Do I want to tell the truth? Do I want to know the truth or not? Do I want to? Or do I want to just follow religious traditions and just all the stuff that I brought? Do I want to take the popular route? Or do I really, am I in, as Rush Limbaugh said, are you and I really in a relentless pursuit of the truth? Do you really want to know the truth? Because the Bible says if you know the truth, it'll set you free, make you free. Truth will make you free. And I look over my shoulder. Not really, but I look over my shoulder at how many things that they've taught us that just aren't even true. Just not, no way that those things are true. Go back to the very beginning of the creation story. I believe the creation story. Are they teaching the creation story in American public schools? Well, no, they're teaching evolution, Darwinian evolution. And if you, for $1 million, $500 million, $1 billion, is there proof of Darwinian evolution? Well, the answer is no. Well, why do they teach it as fact? Why do all of our sciences spin off of this idea of Darwinian evolution when it's still a theory? We don't know. We don't know. I was watching something today. I get up early. I watch a lot of stuff before we do the show. I just got to be honest with you. And I was watching a video today that said that evidently at one point Mars, I think it was Mars, there was a civilization on Mars and it was destroyed by a nuclear blast. And some scientist was explaining about some compound or something that they found that proved that that could only have been caused by a nuclear blast. And so there used to be a civilization on Mars and they got blown up by a nuclear bomb. Do you ever notice that scientists, for the most part, when scientists get together, get right down to the nitty gritty, most of them are atheistic in their nature, right? Why? Because look, friends. Most scientists, they'd be lying to. By the way, most preachers form a belief and look for the evidence. Somebody say amen. They form a belief and amen. Then they look for the evidence. And I don't know about you. I was indoctrinated with a belief. And then they kept showing me evidence only to realize, wait a minute. You mean there's another view on this? Because religion, Christianity, whatever, it's called a faith. What faith are you? What faith are you? Why do they call it a faith? Why do they call it a faith? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. In other words, faith. There is no proof to faith. If you can prove it, it isn't faith. You understand that? I'm going to tell you something. Darwinianism is faith. There's no proof of it. And people would say, well, Christianity is a faith. Well, it is, but it's provable. You can go to the Bible and you can prove it, but they don't want to believe that evidence. They said that's not really evidence. Instead, they would rather give you a picture of a rock that's 700 billion years and try to say, well, there's science. That's science because this happens and it's repeatable. And okay, I get it. That's why we have 44,000 denominations. And that's why I struggle, although I'm not, I don't struggle. That's why when I come in here to do a show, I'm not kidding you. I really don't care, but I often wonder, who's this going to tick off? Who's this going to tick off today if I bring up that subject? So I just want y'all to know out there that I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And I want you to know this. I'm 72 years old. Much of what they told me is not true. And much of what I know, much of what is true, I still don't know. Would anybody agree with that? So I'm deeply grounded in my faith, my belief in Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Genesis story. I don't question any of that. But once we begin to get beyond this Bible and we begin to look at situations around us and say, that's here, that sign here, it's in the Bible. See here. Now I think we run into really, really dangerous territory. And I'm not talking about end time theology. That's not what I'm talking about, although it is what I'm talking about. But if you try to use, as I've often tell people, you can pick out a position and you can probably, out of context, find support for that position in the Bible. You probably can. Let me give you an instance. I'm not going to start a fight. Relax. I'm not starting a fight. The holy day, Saturday or Sunday. Please, I'm not starting a fight. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to the Lord, Saturday or Sunday. There are people who will go to war over that, right? The Sabbath and what the real Sabbath is and when it is. So if let me ask a question. If I'm celebrating the Sabbath on the wrong day, am I not saved? Well, certainly it's not an issue of salvation, right? The Bible says foolish and unlearned questions avoid, for they do engender strifes, right? Not that the Sabbath would be a foolish question, but is it a salvation issue? Is a flat earth a salvation issue? Is submersion or sprinkling a salvation issue? Is Saturday or Sunday a salvation issue? Now, we all want to please the Lord, right? We all want to. But I don't care who you are. If you're looking at this show right now, you were brought up in some type of family tradition. Excuse me. We all were. You're brought up in some type of cultural tradition. We all were. So then therefore, we have to understand that many of the beliefs that we have, I'm talking to me now, many of the beliefs that I have were handed down to me by my ancestors. And I don't know if they knew. That's why we got 44,000 different denominations. I don't know if they knew. And we all know this, that the Bible says that if all the things that were never written would be published, there wouldn't be enough books in the whole world to contain everything. So we're on a faith journey. Rush said a relentless pursuit of the truth. And that's what I try to do here. And I try not to leave any stone unturned. And after the show is over today or any day, and I've said something that upsets you, let me ask you a question. Why would you quit watching? Because I said something that questioned your belief? Can't you defend your belief? Do I have to believe like you? You see, but yep, coach, what I believe is true. Well, 44,000 different denominations. With me? So I hate to use this word. We have a diverse group here. By diverse, I mean, we got a lot of different. Let me show you. Okay, hang here. Okay. I want 10 of you right now to tell me what you were raised. Go ahead, Betty. What were you raised? I got to unmute though, Betty, so I can hear you.
Sorry, ask the question again. I had you on low.
What were you raised?
I was raised Baptist and then Lutheran.
Baptist and Lutheran. Mel, what were you raised?
Presbyterian and Methodist.
Presbyterian and Methodist, right? Do these guys all agree? Eileen, what were you raised?
Catholic.
Catholic. Huh. Tina, I'm going to call on you. Hey, Tina, what were you raised?
Catholic.
Catholic. Vinny, what were you raised?
Baptist.
What?
Baptist.
Baptist?
Yep.
How many of you were raised atheist? Kevin Van Story, what were you raised?
Church of God.
Church of God. Does anybody know the difference in any of these things? Do you really know the difference? I can promise you this. Probably at some part of it, there's a theological difference. Wouldn't you agree? Huh? Beth says Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist. Huh? You meet you. I was a mutt. I was raised Catholic, and my mom was, I don't know what she was. She changed churches more than underwear. My mom did. So I don't know what I was raised, but I can tell you this. That's what I believed. Mel, you got your hand up. Call on him.
Sorry, that was not down from last time.
Okay, that's okay. So that's what I, so look, that's what, folks, can I touch some of these things today? Can I touch some of these things today and you come back tomorrow? By the way, I ain't going to run you down. You leave, you leave. If your faith is that fragile that some old football coach can shake your foundation, Do you really have it? If you can't defend it, you really believe it? Tim Tuber, I must have woken you up out there in Oregon. Tim, what do you think?
Well, I got something for you real quick. So when it comes to faith, it really is God gives you a promise, and if you believe in the promise, that's what God calls faith. So he said to Abraham, Abraham, you're going to have all these seeds. You're going to be blessed financially. And Abraham said, I believe that. But really, we don't even know what it means. The verse where it says, the substance of things hold for. So if you can find a promise in the Bible and believe in it, then God will bless you. So financially even, when I started to realize that if I helped the poor and I took care of people, I found out the blessings came crazy. Not that I gave to a ministry. People who give to ministries are idiots. But if you give to the poor and you help people,
amen, brother. Huh?
Amen.
Amen. Evil men crept in unaware, changed the truth of God into a lie, worship, serve the creature more than the creator. I wrote about that today. So are you guys with me today? Could you please stay with us and say, you know what? I don't always agree with Coach, but damn, he makes me think. That's what I hope this show does for you. Is it makes you examine yourself, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and come to the realization that whatever religious tradition you were raised with may not be the whole story. That's where I am. You ask me, what faith are you? I say Christian. You ask the average person what faith they are, they give you a denomination. Denominator. What's a denominator? Well, the denominator is the number by which the whole number, the numerator, is divided by. So you take 800 million Christians and you divide them by denominations, and that's how you end up with 44,000 different denominations based on belief systems. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't know what I believe sometimes. I don't know. I know there's. I know Jesus Christ is real. I know that he died on that cross. I know heaven is real. I know hell is real. I know the spiritual realm is real. I know the natural realm is real. And other than that, boys and girls, I'm working out my own salvation. So don't ever come here and say, well, this is what Coach believes, because I really don't know sometimes what I believe. Okay, so that's where I'm going today, okay? That's where I want to go today. But before we do that, we have to read Psalm 10 in our journey, in our sacrifice to the Lord. Who's going to read Psalm 10 for me today? Somebody come on and do it.
I can if you want.
Oh, all right, Betty. I can. Go, Betty.
Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?
You think he is? Now, see, if you take the Bible literally, then you would say, well, Jesus is hiding. He's not hiding. He's not hiding. This is metaphors sometimes, right? Sometimes he's giving you explanations of situations that you find in, and he uses metaphors and examples to explain things to you. God isn't hiding. Go ahead.
The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasts of the heart desire and blesses the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth.
Why? Better stop there, Betty. Better stop there. Wicked boast of his heart's desire. The wicked talk about getting stuff for themselves. And bless the covetous. They bless those that are like him. Boy, the Lord hates that, though. Go ahead.
The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not...
Betty, who won't? Who won't seek after God?
The wicked.
The wicked? Huh? The wicked won't seek after God? Okay. Are there any wicked people in D.C.? Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Betty.
God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemy, he puffeth at them.
God has enemies? God has enemies and he puffeth at them? But he loved everybody.
He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity.
Talking about the average folk, average man here, folks. Are you with me here? Huh? You know people who say whatever they have to say to please people, right? That's what we're talking about here. But their mouth's full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Yeah. Go ahead.
He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor.
Well, who are we talking about here, right? We're talking about an antichrist spirit, certainly. We're talking about the heart of man, the heart of men apart from Christ. This is, have you guys seen Washington, D.C.? Have you looked at Washington, D.C. yourself? Is this what it is? Is this what we're seeing? He's sitting looking places in the villages and secret places. He murdered the innocent. His eyes are privately set against the poor. Why, the poor can't help him? They serve the rich. They get money from the rich, right? Heck with the poor. They sound like they care about the poor. They don't care about the poor. Go ahead, Betty.
He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den.
What a picture that is, huh?
He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draws him into his net.
Wow. Don't they call it a safety net? Isn't Social Security a safety net? Huh? Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones.
Wow.
He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his faith. He will never see it.
I'll get away with this. Lord forgot all about this. You know, he's looking someplace else right now. He'll never see. I'll get away with it. He'll never see this.
Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He has said in his heart.
Hang on, folks. I'm sorry. Sometimes you see wherefore, it means why. Why do the wicked contemn God? Go ahead, Daddy.
Thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite. To requite it with thy hand, the poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless.
Amen, boy. Are we? Are we?
Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is...
Find none what? Find none wicked men. Break thou the arm of the wicked, the evil men, till thou find none.
The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land.
Amen.
Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare thy heart. Thou wilt cause thy ear to hear. To judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress.
Amen. Amen. Let me ask you this. Somebody could do a word search for me. See if you ever find in the scripture the motherless. See if you'll ever find that in the scripture, the motherless. No. It's the fatherless. And you know what the unsaved people are? They're fatherless. They ignore, they deny, they whatever, their heavenly father. They are spiritual orphans. The Bible is a spiritual book that applies to the physical world. The fatherless are those without the father. The man of the earth may no more breath. Amen. Oh, I'm all over the place today. I'm sorry. Sorry. Because I'm going to touch some stuff here. I think if the Lord lets me, I'm going to touch some stuff some of you are going to be mad about. Come on in, Craig.
I might as well take a second and expand. So we're doing this about Daniel. Daniel was praying, right, for 21 days and all this spiritual opposition, Prince Persia. I want to just highlight on verse 9 here, and that psalm says, he lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. Okay. Mm. Now, let's go back to Daniel. What happened to Daniel? He was thrown in a lion's den. So I'm going to just come to Daniel 6, and I just want to read what King Darius, who was the first ruler, you know, Cyrus and Darius. This is when Daniel was getting all these visions, right? And of course, we know that Daniel survived that lion. So that lion was fierce, right? It says Satan roars around like a lion, right?
Roaring lion.
Like a roaring lion, right? So while it was metaphorically and physically, it was a lion. He was the spiritual part of the lion that didn't kill Daniel. This is what King Darius writes after he says, send all those people that accused you into the lion's den with their families. And of course, the lions break their bones and eat them. It says, then King Darius wrote, this is from Daniel 6:25, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all earth. So that's everybody here, right?
Amen.
Flat earth, round earth, don't matter. Peace be multiplied to you. He says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel.
By the way, Craig, let me stop you right there. Every dominion and every kingdom, right? Everywhere, meaning everywhere, should be bowing to the God of Daniel. Go ahead.
Amen. It says, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed.
Boy.
Sounds like there's going to be some other kingdoms that are destroyed, though.
Sure does, huh? Kings of this earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Go ahead.
And his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven. So there's some up in heaven and on earth, two places, but connected, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions, so that Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And so that we're talking about this whole 21 days, and of course the opposition from the prince of Persia that kept Gabriel and the glorious man from talking to Daniel. So this tied the lion into that.
Amen. 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 I'm just pondering a second, Craig. It's deep. Because, to be honest with you, we're going somewhere now I hadn't really planned to go, which is okay. Trust the Holy Spirit to do it. And I don't want to make it about me, but I wrote today. And so pull up number 4. Because this is what we're dealing with. It's what we're doing. You guys do know this, don't you? Hang on, Spencer. Before you do that, go to... I got a lot of stuff. Go to number 3. Pull up number 3 real quick. You know this lady's compromise, don't you? Amy Coney Barrett. You do know that, don't you? You do know that evil men have crept in unaware. You do know that, right? You do know that they threatened to murder the judges. You know that they've had death threats. You know that maybe they've threatened to kill children. Who knows what they've been threatened? Who knows? Well, who knows? But she clearly wasn't... Okay, I'll read it real quickly, okay? This guy wrote this. I thought it was pretty good. I wish you could see, folks. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to see, Lord. See, help us to see with spirit eyes, not natural eyes. Oh, this... Betty, you don't have to say it. It's going to make him mad. It's going to make him mad. Do I have to say it, Betty? Our Heavenly Father did not set up women to judge over a nation. Now, you can get as mad as you want to. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. 4 of the Supreme Court justices are women. All 4 of them are lefty women, right? We go back to when the country first started. Well, I'm Scott. I'll say it. Back when the country first started, only men could vote. Why? Because a house divided against itself can't stand. How do you go a ballot box and me vote for one levy and my wife votes against it? We cancel each other out. Lost all authority on it. It's a whole different story. It says, let's talk about Amy Coney Barrett and why her decisions keep bending in favor of the regimen she swore to stand against. This isn't just about ideology anymore. It's about fear, intimidation, control. Let's go back after Justice Kavanaugh was nearly assassinated. You do remember that, don't you? On June 8th, by a name named Nicholas Roski, showed up at his home at 1 a.m. He had a gun, he had a knife, zip ties, and he had a plan to murder Justice Kavanaugh. You guys remember that? And he got all the way to the doorstep. No national emergency was declared, no arrest of those who doxed his address, no investigation into coordination, nothing. Silence. And Amy Coney Barrett watched it unfold. Her home was surrounded by protesters. Her children were at risk. She was begging for help. Then Biden regimen and Senate Democrats, they ignored her. Barrett reportedly nearly resigned, and it shows, because since then, something has changed. Her rulings do not reflect the Constitution anymore. They reflect fear. They reflect submission. They reflect a justice under duress. And that's what we get for sending a woman to do a man's job. Not, by the way, not that John Roberts is any better. Let's not forget what Chuck Schumer said. You've released a whirlwind and you will pay the price. He said to the judges, that's not political rhetoric. That's a threat. And nothing happened to him. No censure, no rebuke, no ethics investigation. Just a wink and a nod from the machine. See, folks, this is not justice. This is warfare, psychological war. I call it spiritual warfare, legal warfare, street level intimidation tactics. And our courts, they're starting to fold like paper. Look around. Look what. See, you trust the courts? You think Barrett just changed her mind? You think she's just nuanced now? No. She's compromised. This is how they do it, folks. They isolate you. They dox you. They threaten your kids. Make your life hell. And then they call that activism. And they get away with it. Because the DOJ is part of it. And the media is part of it. And Congress won't let a finger unless it's to write another check for Ukraine. Somebody say amen. Let me be clear. If they can break a Supreme Court justice with chance, do you have, what chance do you have in this justice system? Boom. This is a message to all patriots. Wake up, speak up, armor up, spiritually, mentally, politically, because they're not just coming for your rights. They're coming for the people who used to defend them. That's why they hate us, folks. That's why they hate us, right? They hate us. You understand that? They hate us. And until we realize it's a spiritual war, and look at her. Look at this pretty woman there in front of you. Shame on us. Shame on us for expecting her to have the grit and intestinal fortitude that God gave a man. Shame on us. Spencer, see if you can see real quick. I just saw this yesterday. See, the Lord just moved me. Stay with me. Spencer, see if you can find the picture of the four women Supreme Court justices standing together. I saw it on Facebook. Maybe you can't find it. I don't know if you can. So some of you are upset out there because now I'm railing against feminism, and I'm not. But feminism was from hell. Feminism was from hell. You check anything you want to about women's rights, feminism, divorces went up. Everything went up. My wife and I, I'm going to go to my wife and I. Somebody certainly got, I got so much I was going to get into. Somebody certainly got an opinion. It's been 29 minutes. Glenn, what do you think, Glenn?
I think that because Amy Coney Barrett didn't slap down Boasberg, did not slap down Boasberg, it emboldened him. It emboldened him to double down on Trump, and that's what happened.
That's right,
and that's why Jim Jordan needs to hold impeachment hearings against Boasberg.
Why won't John Roberts step to the plate? He's the Chief Justice. Why won't he step to the plate? Because he probably went to Epstein Island, be my guess, right? Look, there they are, right? Oh, they're diverse. Boy, that sure is diverse. That's what we want. See, we don't want diversity of law. We want justice. We want a standard of law that doesn't waver. And what we got is diversity. We got diversity. Bunch of lawyers. Bunch of lawyers. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, I retext that to you, and I was listening to this guy, Senator James Langford. He's just written a book. He says he took about 3 years with it, but it's called Turnaround.
All right.
That's what he talks about in this book. Turnaround, and the subtitle is The American Revolution. And it's, he says, it's not going to happen until you quit sitting and bitching at your TV and do something. You got to get active. You got to get involved. You got to go out in your community. You got to change things. And he basically specified the church. Quit just going to church on Sunday. Get out and do something. And he's begging. Please come out.
Jeff, if you texted it to me, I didn't get it. I'm going to read my commentary. I'm being prompted to do it here in a second. Glenn, your hand's still up. You want to finish? No, Rochelle, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, team. Yeah, you know, there is part of me when you touch on the women's thing where my heart starts beating really fast and I automatically want to jump on the other side. Okay. Uh-huh. Right.
Yep.
But yep. There is a reality to what you're saying. I mean, I will point out that Jesus made women the first witnesses at his tomb. Jesus elevated women to a position where they should be. But there is different roles for men and women. I think the heart thing and me getting that reaction I have about the vote is something different. I think, you know, I don't want to be the only lamb in a cave with a bunch of wolves who get the vote.
Let me make it clear, Rochelle, and I love you. And I'm going to say this on behalf of my wife. Why is it? Don't this, Michelle, this is not personal. Okay, please. Anybody, this is not personal. Why is it that a woman doesn't trust her home husband to vote for the family?
Yeah, that is probably the reason my heart starts beating, because I don't trust that the men or even my husband would have my best interest at heart.
That's
the problem with this country, though. That's the problem. Sometimes the husbands don't have the wife's best interest at heart. If we felt that they did, please, I don't want to stand in line to vote. Believe me, I would like to wash my hands. I got better stuff to do.
Amen. Amen. But see, we won't be able to come back to that till we come back to a Christian nation. It's so far gone, which, by the way, is what I wrote about today. Okay. Thank you, Rochelle, for your honesty. And I wasn't talking about you. I know this. Michelle would trust me to vote for our family. Can I tell you something else? I would trust her to vote for our family as well. And the sad truth of it is, that's pretty rare, isn't it? How many of you watching right now, male or female, doesn't matter, how many of you would trust the vote of your spouse on every issue? And a house divided against itself cannot stand. You mean to tell me that you in your house don't have the same values as your husband? I never go to the election and ask Michelle how she voted. I don't have, who'd you vote for? Who'd you vote for? I know who she voted for. Why? Because we're one. We're not a divided house. She's not running off voting pro-choice and I'm running off voting pro-life. She's not voting for school levies and I'm voting against them. A house divided against itself cannot stand. I'm going to get to it here in a second. Okay. Betty and then Jean.
I'll make it quick. That picture that you just had of those judges. Yeah. Did you notice the women are all on the outside of the men? To me, wouldn't the women be in the middle because men are to be protectors of the women?
Betty. Huh? Look at that. Look. Well, boy, they sure look like America, isn't it? Doesn't matter what they believe. Boy, they sure look like it. We got us a Hispanic. We got us a white woman. We got us a black man. We got us a black woman. We got us Kagan. I think she's a lesbian. I'm not sure. I think she's we got diversity covered, don't we see? Yeah. Do those guys represent? You trust those guys? You trust those guys? Would you trust them to make a decision about your right to live or your right to die? Would you trust those folks? Gino.
Yeah, I was going to go back to what Jeff was saying about James Langford. I'm praying that he's trying to make up for what he did to us on January the 6th. He turned his face on us. He went up there to have them to recount the vote. And then after the breaking in, he turned on us.
Because he was compromised, Gino. Yes. He's compromised. Somebody owns him.
I'm going to get that. You got it. I'm praying he's trying to bring it out. He's not one to admit what he did, because those people in Oklahoma has tried to let him know what he had done to us.
Amen. Amen.
But but he's not wanting to admit it yet, but he's trying to break out what Jeff was saying, I think.
And so, see, folks, look, are you looking at me? In 1947, the Supreme Court ruled that there was a separation between the church and state. And there was a time in America where, I'm just telling you, if you were not a Christian, you would never get on the Supreme Court. Because Christianity was the common value system that held everybody together. And now we think that diversity is different beliefs. We have Jews on, nothing against Jews. Jews aren't Christians. Jews don't believe the Bible. We have Jews in there. We have atheists in there. We have pagans in there. Presbyterians, right? Right? So can two walk together lest they agree? And then I'm going to go to them and expect them to do the right thing. John Roberts, who went down there and got his dingle tickled down there at Epstein Island. We're supposed to believe that, right? How'd those women get up in there? Come on. Come on. Come on, Dale.
Yeah, amen, Coach. I mean, there's so much to say. I'm just sitting back listening to this.
What a show.
You know, What she just revealed about that picture, my goodness, all I'm thinking is the book of Judges, and I'm reading, you know, there's a reason why Deborah became a judge, because the order of God was out of Israel. Psalm says this, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, but sin is the reproach to any people. Until we get God right, in 1947, when that happened, Coach, we eliminated 98 precedences of court orders that America was a Christian country. Amen. And that's exactly what it was. And so in that, there's order out, right? There is order. God is the head of Christ, Christ the head of man, and man is the head of woman. And when that is out of order, Coach, there's no blessings. We destroy the unborn children. We destroy them in the sodomites. We destroy them in all of these things because we are out of order. God, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And when it's not, sin is the reproach to any peoples. Hey, Coach, one more thing just to plug in here. We got the Holy Ghost Revival Zastros down here. That's why I've missed some show. We've been up so late. I'm like, I need to let Coach have Cal down on there just to shout a little hoorah. But anyway, I love you. We're looking forward to seeing you in the next couple weeks, too.
Yeah, man. I'd love to be down there, too. Thanks, man. Thanks, Dale. See, folks, it was never designed. Our American government was never designed to have atheists sitting on the Supreme Court. Never designed. Right? Do you know that... In the original Constitution, you had to be a Christian to hold office. Did you know that? Well, I'm going to read about that here in a second. Joe Allen.
Yeah, I'm going to play like Joe Biden. Don't you think these guys get together and know what they're going to vote on?
Sure.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yep.
No said.
There ain't no doubt about it, right? Huh? Like Sotomayor, I'm looking at that picture right now. She represents all Hispanic women? Really? She represents all Hispanic? Really? You mean you have a different opinion of right and wrong because you're a woman? You have a different opinion on, well, pick ever the issue because you're a man? Really? See, folks, this will never go back in a bottle. It'll never go back in a bottle. If I were to bring Michelle down here, the love of my life, 44 bunch of years, she would want me on the Supreme Court, not her. You understand that? She would want me on the Supreme Court, not her.
Amen.
Huh? I'm just telling you. Is it called chauvinistic? See, they always accuse us. They always use, what's the word I'm looking for? Pejoratives to make people who have certain beliefs look evil. Racism, that's all racism is. Oh, you're white and you're against blacks. That's all it is. speak out against the Jews, oh, you're anti-Semitic. That's all it is. It's just an accusation that sticks. It sticks. And they continue to hammer it. And so you go on the defensive. Like, I have to come in here every time and say, look, I'm not racist, but I'm not anti-Semitic, but we always have to throw the butt in there. Why do I have to throw the butt in there? Because they've programmed you with their arguments. Oh, he's anti-woman. No, I'm not anti. I'm pro-man. I'm pro-man. Yeah, I am. I'm pro-man. And see, I'm the screwed up one because our daughters who were college softball players, I sure as hell don't want some boy playing against them. I don't want some boy taking their spots. And what do they call me? A Neanderthal, big. What? See, we got to understand the way the game's played. The powerful use of language and words. Mark Trump.
Hey, coaches. This weakness of men.
Yes, sir.
To give in to women.
Yes.
Happened in the garden.
It's built in us, coach.
It's built in us.
The woman you gave me, you're telling us
that once you become of Jesus, we have to unprogram things that were programmed in the garden, coach.
Yeah.
That's how hard this is for humanity. So, of course, you got a government that's corrupt. They're going to do what Satan did in the garden. They're going to use women.
They're going to use women.
Mm-hmm. Since the garden, it's been done this way. Okay, so it's a tough one.
It is. And I'm going to throw this in there just because I'm throwing stuff at the wall right now. How many men are not in control of their houses because their wife makes more money? Jeff, did you want to say something?
Yeah, now you said using the word but. I always, when somebody automatically stop, and I say, listen, hold up. Get your butt out of the way. Yeah. We'll go forward.
Your butt stinks.
Now's the time for Gene and Randy and all them people in Oklahoma. Go hold Senator Langford accountable. Say, listen, we see your new book out. Huh? We're here. We're not bitching at the TV no more.
So, but Jeff, the entire church ought to be doing that. They ought to be doing it. Pull up my commentary because it applies. Right? I really wasn't going to read this, but it applies.
That's what he said in the book. Church has got to come out. He's saying it.
Amen. Amen. So today I wrote on, and you're free to comment. Scroll on down, Spence. Infiltration, not invasion. I'm going to read it fast because it makes all the points we're talking about now. John F. Kennedy tried to warn us and cost him his life. Eisenhower did too. We talked to military complex. But the Bible was the first one to warn us that evil men have crept in unaware and changed the truth of God into a lie. America has been invaded. Evil men have crept in and now occupy the most powerful seats of once Christian America. A quick review of the scriptures will find multiple references to the spiritual war that has now moved into the natural realm. The book of Ephesians warns us, wrestle not against flesh and blood. We get it. Would it be safe to say that we're seeing the manifestation of evil like no time in recorded history? Are we foolish enough to believe that this is simply a political battle? Do we not understand that this is a spiritual manifestation of the Bible into the natural world? The heart of man is the target, and individual souls are the price. I'm going to stop right there. How many people that you run into every day believe what I just wrote there? Have even considered it that it's a spiritual war? How many do you think? We don't teach it anymore. They don't even go to church. Can't pray in schools. Can't talk about morality. How many people? Just that right there. They don't even know it. Does the church even address it? When will the American church wake the hell up? Psalm 2, you guys know what it says about kings of this earth, right? Rulers take counsel together. It's the ultimate conspiracy. By far more than any theory, that earthly kings, leaders, are working together to overthrow the kingdom of God. It is the job of the church, the body of Christ, to establish his rule here on earth. So here's the scenario. Jesus said, our Father on earth, Jesus said, thy kingdom come. He wants authority. The devil says, no, I want authority. That's the battle, period. Remember the Lord's Prayer? You learned as a young child? Wonder how many people can recite that today. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Occupy till I come. That's his command. Why are God's people so unwilling to earnestly contend for the faith? American church has become so heavenly conscious of no earthly good. In 1947, the SCOTUS issued the first of many wicked decisions ever since versus the Board of Education. Over 200 years of Christian tradition was jettisoned to the backseat of the American bus as the foundation of all American government was uprooted and replaced with the religion of humanism. So in 1947, separation of church and state, to kick the church out, brought humanism in, and here we sit. Evil men crept in. No one noticed. Today we fight against the ungodly forces of darkness. Currently, in the middle of this ever-expanding information age, it's possible for an American child to complete 13 years of public indoctrination and never hear a word about the central figure of Western civilization, the man by whom all time is measured around the world, every country, every religion, every nation. Anyone who signs a paycheck, writes a check, or keeps a daily journal records that this is 2025. You write it on new checks. Why 2025? 2025 years from what? AD, Anno Domini, Latin for the year of our Lord, BC, before Christ, all time measured by the acknowledgement of the arrival of Jesus Christ. And you're more likely to hear the history of Genghis Khan in your public school than you are the impact of the life of Jesus Christ. Vinny, that would be a boom. That'd be a boom. You'll learn about every secular guy you could ever think of. You ain't going to learn nothing about the King of Kings.
Boom.
The King's reference in Psalm 2 have infiltrated and taken over control of the schools, the family, the government. Now they own the churches. Today we stand at the crossroads of history, and we will record what we did in this critical moment in Western civilization. Did we stand and fight, or did we cower in a corner as the King of Kings, as the kings of this earth herd us into the safety of our churches, wearing our masks, of course, where we hid from the enemy, afraid to obey the commandment to go into all the world. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We're the light of the world. The job of the light is to expose what's happening in the darkness. Cowering in the safety of our stained glass fortresses is not what our Savior had in mind. I don't know where we stand in Bible eschatology, neither do you. But we do know that Jesus told us to occupy, not hide, until he comes. We're least like our Savior when we are afraid. The King doesn't think highly of the cowardly. But the fearful and the unbelieving. See, there it is. First one rich, first one going into the pit, the fearful. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Is there really a difference between the two political parties? Where are the men of God in the Republican Party? Where are they? Infiltration, not invasion. See, it happened on our watch. For God's sake, Christian, stand up and speak up. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Will we answer the call? The world, or maybe I should say our King, is waiting on us. Craig.
If you look at the, you got to look at what's feeding the system. The system is the government, okay? But just think of yourself, you know, Coach, you were a school teacher. Okay. So what's the school system dealing with now? All the discipline problems. So is it the school system, the system of the school, the teacher's bat, or is it what's coming in? So like when you were a coach, right, you're like thinking, okay, I got these people here, but I'm not going to keep them forever. So I'm going to have the next group that comes in. So now the next group that comes in had, a phone in front of their face since they're 3 years old, never threw a football, never did this, never touched grass. And now you're going to take them and say, I want to play football. And this is what you got to bring them. I mean, you got to bring them up, right? I mean,
That's right. They don't know what I'm talking about. They don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Self-sacrifice, hard work.
Yep. Right. So now take how the word of God has not been impressed in the hearts and minds of the people who take the roles in our government. In other words, they see the law, but they can't interpret it with a biblical worldview. And that's what the problem is. You have ungodly people with an unbiblical view running the reins of the government. So you can have the best constitution, you can have the best laws that you want, but if they're in the minds of someone who does not have a biblical worldview and the authority of Jesus Christ, then you're going to have chaos.
Craig, that was the Pilgrims' foundation. That was the Pilgrim's foundation, folks. And what's happened? evil men have crept in unaware. Look, I got so much good stuff to show you today. Let me throw this at you real quick. Pull up number 8. I'm not going to show it all, okay? I'm not going to show, I don't have time to show it all. Lindy Lou. Do you guys know who Lindy Lou is? She was the world's biggest, well, that's saying a lot. She's a big lib, billionaire, giving money to Democrats. And she saw what was going on. Put this at about 1.5 speed and listen to what she has to say. Then put it in the chat because you got to listen to it. Her eyes are open. Go ahead.
People were kept in the dark about the timing of the announcement, including the highest echelons of the United States government. For example, Anita Dunn, whom I worked in close concert with, had no idea. She did a conference call that morning telling people that we would stay the course,
Stop. She's talking about that Biden wasn't going to run. Anita Dunn, who is running the government. Say who? Anita Dunn. She just told us Anita Dunn is running the government. She didn't know Biden was going to quit. Go ahead.
And so she had only like a minute heads up that the announcement was coming. And I can't stress enough how high up Anita Dunn was. She was basically part of the council of presidents. Dave, we didn't have a president.
Right.
We had a council of these unelected people that you've never even heard of. And they're Anita Dunn, Mike Donilon, and Steve Ricchetti. Three of them were running the country. Most Americans, I would say maybe like 1%, if that, have heard of them.
Hey, stop. Put in the chat. Evil men have crept in unaware. Even today, it's still going on. And let me tell you something. It's going on in many American churches. Many American churches. The men will not. Are you ready? I swear the testimony I'm about to give shall be the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. How many men standing in our pulpits could do that? Yes, Berean, Council of Presidents, as she said. There's a council of people behind the scenes, unelected people running the government called the deep state. She said they are real. Anita Dunn is president of the United States. Lindy, if you go and watch the whole thing, she names them. Yep. Amen. Jeff Klein, go ahead.
Coach, you know, a couple of years ago, in one of the school board meetings I spoke, you were talking about darkness and what comes in. We're in the little room and had no windows in it. No windows in a cement block room. So I told him I was talking about taking that Bible out of the school back when you destroyed John Freshwater and destroyed FCA, took Christianity right out of the Mount Vernon schools.
That's right. They let them take it. Churches let them do it.
Yep. And I looked at him and I said, now, if I walk over here right now to that light switch and flip that switch off, what's going to happen in this room? It's going to go dark. You have taken Christ and the Bible out of this school. Darkness is coming. Now I look back on it. I wish I would have just walked over and flipped the switch off. Yeah. Said, are you scared yet? It's getting awful dark in here. You know what I mean? They would have probably been like, turn that light back on. I should have done it, but I didn't.
So, Jeff, when they talk about the separation between the church and state, folks, tell me that you understand this. They're talking about the separation of biblical morality and government. That's what they're talking about, friends. Biblical morality is out the door. That's why we got gay marriage, homosex, cutting off the penises of little boys and little girls. We have evil men. Oh, Lord, help us to see.
Amen.
Help us to see what's going on. Open our eyes, Lord. We would see and understand what's going on in our midst, that the only answer is the truth of the gospel, the kingdom of God. We are in a kingdom. Those of us who have received Christ, we are in his kingdom. He said, his kingdom come, his will be done. Where? Where? On earth. Oh, so let's elect Kamala Harris and Muslim Barry Obama. Let's elect all these non-Christian people masquerading as Christians, of course. I'm sure Kamala's a Christian. I'm sure she is. She sneaks in. We look around. Lindsey Graham. Want me to name some Republicans for you? Mitch McConnell. Want me to name some evil men who've crept in, been in there 40 years, 50 years? Huh? What? Why? Because church has pulled away from government. Come on in, Johnny.
Just want to say that's why all of those pardons are illegitimate. Because right. You just said it right there. They're admitting it. So what about that electric pen? Who was signing those pardons?
That's right. That's
it's coming hey, Johnny, out.
Johnny, here's the bad news. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. We already know they're bought and sold. So there isn't any justice, right? See, Bible says that when God judges a nation, he blindfolds the judges. Did you know that?
Did you know that that's judgment of God upon the country? That he blinds, he makes the judges blind. John Roberts knows the truth, but he can't see it anymore. Coney Barrett, she's so scared she can't. Old buddy John Brockhoff. I don't know if you're out there listening, John. John Brockhoff told me, Coach, the biggest mistake we ever made is we told them, we as Christians told them that they didn't have to be afraid of us. Folks, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if we are his emissaries, they should be afraid of us. Not that we're going to kill them, not that we're going to hang them, but that we are ruling. Jesus Christ is ruling. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He is ruling today, and you best fear him. And what? That's what the ballot box is supposed to be. I hate to tell you this. I don't care. But let me tell you the truth. Anybody want me to tell you the truth? Huh? Somebody egg me on.
Do it, Coach.
Only the truth.
Okay. Of course.
Okay. 90% of women under the age of 25 vote Democrat. 90% of women under the age of 30 vote Democrat. How's that happen? Yeah, Beth, fatherless. We have a fatherless, Christless country, a Christless educational system. And those who do go to church hear about a love me only Jesus. People don't want to go to a church where there's rules and regulations because they're too legalistic. My Bible says that it's judgment when a woman rules over a man. Let me tell you this. I could bring that sweet little woman up there down here and she would tell you this. We don't always agree. But she knows that I know what's best for our family. She knows, not say that, said that wrong. She knows that I always want to do what's right for our family. She knows that. And she tries to influence me one way or another, but at the end of the day, I make the decision. It's one of the most protective things we can do, because if things go bad, it's my fault. It's not hers. I made the decision. I'll live with it. I took your advice. Somebody's got to make the call. I make the call. I will not burden you with that responsibility. That's the way it's supposed to operate, folks. You suppose Amy Coney Barrett, she in charge of her home, I wonder? Put that picture back up there. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I don't care if you come back or not. Put the picture of those justices back up there. Can you find one of the women? I want. Yeah. Well, those are old ones. That's Sandra Day O'Connor. And I wonder how many of them have bossy husbands. Anybody want bet? You think Elena Kagan goes home and listens to her husband, Kijani, whatever her name is? Think so?
She's a homo. She doesn't have a husband.
She doesn't have a husband. One sitting over there. Soda, my oar, right? Think she's under the submission to a man? I think Amy Coney Barrett maybe was at one point. But she's got that separation of church and state stuck in her mind now. And so she's one thing at work and another thing at home. That don't work very well either. Oh, I got so much stuff I didn't get to that I wanted to get to. Maybe tomorrow. But no, we won't do it tomorrow. Because tomorrow, David Arthur is going to be with us. And he's going to explain how they're grooming our children. We're not here to talk about David's life and everything. He is going to show, folks, tomorrow you're going to see pictures of mutilated boys and girls from transgender surgery. And you're going to look at that picture and say, how can we permit this to go on? And you better recognize, and I better recognize, that the seed of the serpent is after the seed of the woman. And if we don't get that as the central focus of everything we do, then Katie, bar the door. See you tomorrow.